Come on, my girl. Stop trying to deny it. You killed your sweetheart.
That's what you've been saying for hours.
It's the truth. We know you killed him, and you know you killed him. So you might as well confess.
I guess you're right. I don't remember doing it, but I guess I must have. I'll confess. I killed him. I killed him. Now you let me alone.
Well, look who's here. Inspector Duran himself. I guess my play must be good when the police department comes to see it.
Oh, hello, Mr. Nixon. Yes, I enjoyed your play very much.
Thanks. Sort of a busman's holiday, eh, Inspector?
No, I wouldn't say that. I enjoyed a fine evening in the theater. Production and acting were both very excellent. But the play isn't true to life, I'm sorry to say.
What? You don't believe that if a person is subjected to the suggestion that he or she is guilty, a confession may be obtained even though they are innocent?
I certainly don't. Now, if a person is innocent of a crime, he or she will continue to assert that innocence as long as physical torture isn't applied to obtain a confession.
Now, Inspector, you...
Now, look here, Nixon. Look here. I'll tell you what I'll do. The very next case I get, I'll let you come along. That'll give you some real practical experience in criminal psychology.
It's a date.
Our radio play for today, Confession for Two, is based on a most interesting story, which will be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, that educational and entertaining magazine, which is read by more people than any other publication in the world. This remarkable magazine is distributed with every Hearst Sunday newspaper from coast to coast.
Hello, Mr. Nixon. Glad to see you.
I got here as soon as I could, Inspector. Well, this isn't a very pretty sight.
Oh, you're right, it isn't. And it's definitely a woman's work.
How do you make that out?
Well, a man would have used much less rope, tied his victim up more efficiently.
I see. But do you think a woman could have killed this old man alone?
Oh, yes. He was an inventor, indoor bookish type. Wouldn't have been hard to have overpowered him.
But what could be the motive, Inspector?
Well, when you see the two suspects, you'll understand. Jealousy. Now, the housekeeper's middle-aged. Secretary is a young woman. She's very pretty.
But the inventor here was such an old man. Why should jealousy be the motive?
Well, that's easy to figure out. Now, look. Supposing the housekeeper expected to get all her employer's money when he died.
Yes.
She's all set to be the sole heir. Then along comes this other woman, the secretary. She's younger, pretty. The old man has her with him all the time. Dictating, he says, but the housekeeper thinks she's being edged out on the legacy. So before the will can be changed, he does away with the old man.
Yes, it does sound logical, Inspector.
Well, that takes care of the housekeeper. Now, on the other side, maybe the secretary, figuring it out for herself, or actually seeing the will, hates to see the legacy going to the housekeeper. So she gets the old man to make a new will, naming her as the heiress. After he signed it, she kills him. It's as simple as ABC.
You've certainly got it all worked out either way. But who discovered the body?
Both of them. That's the only stickler. But here's where we take care of that. Sergeant, bring in the secretary.
Yes, sir.
Have you found the will, Inspector?
No, not yet. My men are still searching for it. Also the murder weapon.
Here's the secretary, Inspector.
Yes. What did you say your name was, young lady?
Amy Barlow.
Yes. When did you see your employer last?
Yesterday evening, when he finished work.
He was alive?
Yes, of course. I didn't kill him, if that's what you think.
That's what I think, all right, and I think I know why you killed him. Now, you were his secretary. You had access to all his papers. Who was named in his will as heir to his money?
I don't know. I never saw his will.
No? I don't suppose you got him to will his money, do you either?
No.
And then killed him here before he could change it again.
It's a lie. I don't know anything about any will. I never killed him, I tell you.
Look here. The lifeless eyes of your employer are staring up at you. How can you stand there and deny that you killed him?
Because I'm telling the truth. Mr. Ryder was alive when I last saw him. Yesterday evening. And he was lying here like this when Mrs. Lang and I opened the door this morning.
Take her out again, Sergeant. Let's try the other one.
I didn't kill him.
All right, come along now.
That girl seemed to be telling the truth, Inspector.
Fooled you, did she? She's just got a lot of nerve. She's trying to brazen it out.
Yeah, get in there, Al. Yeah. Here's the housekeeper, sir.
You're Mrs. Lang?
I am.
Well, Mrs. Lang, you might as well confess that you killed the old man.
What?
We know all about it anyway.
May ease your conscience to get it off your chest.
No, I've got nothing to confess. Why, this is the way Miss Barlow and I found Mr. Ryder. I don't know anything about it.
Mrs. Lang, look around you. You know this room pretty well. You've cleaned it every day.
Well,
there's the bed you've made up. Just standing on the floor, which you scrubbed up, and there lies the body of the man you killed.
No, no.
You see? It all comes back to you now, doesn't it? You waited until Miss Barlow had left for the night. Then you came in here to prepare the old man's bed for the night. But instead, you bound him with that rope and you killed him.
No.
Oh, come in.
Take me out of here, please. Take me out of here.
I just found this little hatchet in the housekeeper's apartment, Inspector.
Oh. Is this yours, Mrs. Lang?
Yes, yes. It's the one I used to get rabbits ready for cooking.
And this is what you killed your employer with.
No.
Look. There's clotted blood and a few of Ryder's white hairs on it.
No, no, I never used it on him. That's rabbit's hair.
Now, just look how thin your story is. Mrs. Lang, you might as well confess. This hatchet found in your apartment proves you killed the old man.
The interrogation goes on until finally in the early hours of the morning.
We all know you killed him. You might as well confess.
No, no, I didn't do it, I tell you.
Didn't you come in here last night?
Yes.
Didn't you scrub this floor?
Yes.
Wasn't there blood on it when you scrubbed it?
I can't remember.
You mean you don't want to remember? Come on, Kate Lang, let's get it over with. You killed Raymond Ryder.
All right, I'll confess.
Good. Take this down, Williams.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, bring that girl in here.
Yes, sir, right away, sir. Hey, you, come in here.
Again, what for this time?
Now, Mrs. Lang, start that confession.
Well, I...
Go on, go on.
Well, that hatchet belongs to me, like I said. But it was Miss Barlow who used it on Mr. Ryder.
What?
Yes, yes, you see, she was always complaining of having to work for a living. Pretty girl like her, and how rich Mr. Ryder was, and how easy it'd be to kill him. So last night, I brought her the hatchet. I stayed outside in the hall, scrubbing the floor while she killed him. Now you know everything. Take me out of here.
That woman's lying, deliberately lying. She knows very well I left here at 5 o'clock last night. She saw me say goodnight to Mr. Ryder. He was alive when I left, I tell you. I didn't kill him.
Well, you're still stubborn, eh? Well, a few hours in jail will soften you up. Take him away, boys.
Yes, sir. I didn't kill him.
Now, come on, you.
Well, you watched how we got a confession without physical torture. You just face him with evidence of their guilt, and they'll come through every time.
I still think you're barking up the wrong tree, Inspector.
Yeah?
That secretary isn't guilty, despite what that hysterical housekeeper has told you.
Yes, well, you just wait if she's been locked up a while. She'll lose some of that nerve. She'll talk and plenty.
There's something about her firmness, which you class as nerve, that makes me feel sure she's innocent of this crime.
Oh, listen, my boy. Don't let a pretty face fool you.
I'm not. To prove it, let me tell you, I don't think either of them killed the old man.
Well, you heard the housekeeper's confession.
I heard the confession of a woman made hysterical by hours of questioning and the power of suggestion. It's my play all over again.
Yeah? Well, that remains to be proven, Nixon.
All right, I'll prove it.
Very kind to try to help me, Mr. Nixon. But I'm afraid it's no use. That housekeeper's lie has me in a spot.
She sure has, Miss Barlow. Unfortunately, she's the type that's usually swayed by suggestion.
My only hope is that in the analysis of those bloodstains on the hatchet, we'll show them to be animal blood.
Even that wouldn't clear you. The police would stick to the confession they obtained and say that Mrs. Lang deliberately planted rabbit hairs on it in an attempt to avoid suspicion.
Oh, then what am I going to do?
The motive was to obtain money, either cash or by legacy. I feel quite sure of that. Now, I want you to tell me if you know of any heirs the old man might have.
Well, his only friend was Mrs. Lang. I suppose she'd come in for something. But he never made friends with anybody. He kept to himself. You see, he was afraid someone would steal his ideas.
Well, did he have any relatives you know of?
No. Oh, wait. Yes, he did.
Good.
A nephew. He was sort of a black sheep of the family.
Yes.
He's an orphan now. I remember he came to see his uncle just a few weeks ago.
What about money?
Yes, he did come for money.
Now we're getting somewhere. Do you know what reply the old man made?
Yes. I was in the next room transcribing my notes.
Yes?
He told the nephew he was a worthless rascal and to get out and stay out. I remember his exact words. He said, any money you get from me will be over my dead body.
Miss Barlow, do you know where we can find that nephew?
Yes. Here, give me a pencil and paper.
Yeah.
He gave his uncle the address in case he changed his mind, you see. Here it is. And the man's name is Albert Renduck.
I think it'll be worthwhile having a talk with Albert Renduck.
But this guy Renduck ain't living here no more, the super said.
I know that, Conkle. But in his hurried departure, he may have left something of interest behind him. That's why we're taking a look down in the cellar.
Yeah, I get it. But may have left something to remember him by.
Exactly. Now, you start looking around over in that corner, and I'll take this section around the furnace.
Yeah, okay.
Find anything, Conkle?
Just some dead soldiers. What you looking for, Mr. Nixon?
Stained clothing, for one thing. Small hatchet, for another. Nothing here. I guess we're on the wrong trail. Come on, Conkle.
Yes, sir.
Wait, there's just one place left. We might as well have a look in the furnace.
Sure. It's a good idea.
Conkle, look, in the ashes.
Gee, part of a guy's coat.
Yeah, let's fish it out.
Hey, something fell on me.
Yeah, pick it up, Conkle.
Holy. Look at Mr. Nixon, a hatchet head.
Yes, a duplicate of the one owned by that housekeeper, Conkle. The nephew must have known about the rabbit hatchet and tried to throw the blame on them. Come on, we've got the proof those women didn't do it.
Miss Barlow, now you can go now.
Oh,
here's a young man come for you.
Oh, Leo, Mr. Nixon, I think you're wonderful.
Make it Leo, Amy.
Well, Leo, I think you're wonderful.
That's better. Why do you think I'm wonderful?
Oh, getting me out of this horrible prison.
Is that the only reason?
Well, I should think it was enough. So would you if your life had been at stake because of that hysterical woman.
It was really your tip on Renduck that got you out, Amy. The police are convinced now that he did the killing.
Thank heaven. Oh, I never want to hear of another confession as long as I live.
Do you mean that?
I certainly do.
And I guess that lets me out, Amy.
Well, what's the matter? What are you talking about?
Well, Amy, I was just on the point of confessing I love you.
Oh, Leo. Well, I guess I may as well make it a confession for two.
Amy, you mean that...
I know anything I may say will be used against me, Leo, but I love you, too.
The story from which this dramatization was taken will be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. Remember, the only way you can get your copy of the American Weekly magazine is with a Hearst Sunday newspaper. No other newspaper can supply it.
Thank you. get squeezed bucks over in the corner someplace out of our way. Me and Dottie's got business to talk over.
Okay.
That's a laugh, Stella. What business is there to talk over?
The business we ain't doing. We gotta do something about it.
Well, Stella, it was your idea to leave dear old New York for this so-called gay Paris.
All right. So they didn't fall for our girly-girly review, and we gotta open up this here Bar American. But for